Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. Former U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and former Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, never the smartest people in the room, warn that time is not on Ukraine's side. They're actually right, but for the wrong reasons. They are perfectly happy to see the conflict in Ukraine continue. Crosstalking Ukraine, I'm joined by my guest Lionel in New York. He is a legal and media analyst. In Del Mar, we have Scott Ritter. He is a former intelligence officer and United Nations weapons inspector. And in Buffalo, we cross to John Kavulik. He is an analyst for Issue Insight. All right, gentlemen, crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Scott, let me go to you first here. I'm quoting Condi and Bob. Time is not on Ukraine's side. I think you and I would agree with that, but for very different reasons. Go ahead.
No, look, time isn't on the Ukraine side. You know, they had a good run this summer. It's like a heroin addict getting some fresh heroin. They got injected with $100 billion worth of Western military and financial assistance. They had a high, but it's ended and there's no more drugs. And so they're crashing. Russia, on the other hand, has spent the last 4 months rebuilding its military capability. They just restructured their command staff to support large-scale, broad-based military operations that are going to begin very soon. Time isn't on Ukraine's side. Russia's getting ready to deliver the hammer. The West has nothing left to feed their Ukrainian junkie, and it's game, set, match.
Okay, well, John, let me go to you. Basically, the same question here. I mean, after $100 billion plus and for at least most people in the West, it's a stalemate. I wouldn't agree with that assessment. But nonetheless, what is another $100 billion going to do? I mean, you know, Condoleezza Rice and Robert Gates, they essentially say, keep funding this war. Towards what end? What does victory mean? What does defeat mean? Who's the winner? Who's the loser? Go ahead, John in Buffalo.
You've asked for definitions of terms that have been elusive since the 24th of February of 2022, and they remain not only elusive, but they also are meaning differently to different countries, different governments, different participants in what was a special military operation and what is now defined as a war. I disagree with Scott in the following. You know, I am one in those camps that that there needs to be dialogue because people keep dying and territory keeps getting run over twice. However, the West is likely to continue to fund, even if it looks like there isn't much movement either way. There's likely to continue to be substantial funding.
Why, John? Well, do you think it's a good idea? I mean, towards what end?
The definition of end. And I'm sorry to keep giving these that they're elusive definitions, but for countries, some countries outside of Ukraine, some members of NATO, they do believe that the end means the territorial borders of Ukraine as they existed in 1991. For other NATO members, they're fine with the borders as they were on the 23rd of February of 2022. There isn't unanimity, just like there isn't unanimity with respect to the European Union and how it looks at Ukraine. But what we have in Ukraine is now become a very, very big business.
We can agree on that. And I would say that's one of the reasons why Condoleezza Rice and Robert Gates wants this to go along, because of their connections with the arms manufacturers. It's really good business at the expense of America's great friend, the Ukrainians. It's really quite sickening here. Let me go to Lionel in New York. You know, Lionel, apparently a member of Congress wants to erect a bust of Zelensky in the House of Representatives. How do you feel about that?
Well, I can't say, because this is a family show. Okay. May I just say something right now? I want to imagine a thought experiment. we're going to the future 25 years from now. I hope we're still here. And somebody asks me to explain the Russian-Ukrainian military operation. Why did it happen? Who was behind it? What was the information? And I happen to have a list of all of these leftist, crazy Putin apologists who came out basically asking whether this was a wise thing to do. William Burns, Condoleezza Rice, Bob Gates, Barry Posen, posting in Foreign Affairs, Henry Kissinger, John Mearsheimer, the great, Jonathan Paul, Noam Chomsky, Mr. Ritter, whom I respect, the late Stephen Cohen, Colonel Douglas McGregor, and the granddaddy of them all, George Kennan, the expert, the author of Containment. Everybody since day one said, what are you doing?
You know, Lionel, I'm sorry, you could have put me on the list because I was saying it months before it happened that this is what we were going to get. And with the wisdom of YouTube, just took it all down. So there is no historical record that I actually said it. OK, keep
but
going.
But it goes without.
Go
but
ahead.
It goes without saying. But here's what I'm saying. I'm looking at this just as almost as a doctor looks at a patient. I'm looking at the pathology reports, the laboratory. What are we talking about? And by the way, I've got to tell you this. Here in my country, more people know about the various iterations of Star Wars galactic unions than they do NATO. In fact, when I have this with me, I know it sounds corny, but when any of my friends talks about this, I said, here, point to Ukraine, roughly. And you see this.
Okay.
What is
okay.
This?
For my other guest, Lionel is holding a very small globe. Okay, asking where Ukraine is. Okay, it's a very good point, Scott. Let me go back to you. Let's go back to what the infinite wisdom of Rice and Gates here. They also say Ukraine's economy is in shambles and the country is entirely reliant on foreign aid. I interpret that as you break it, you own it. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, I mean that could be. Let me quick jump to what John had said earlier about definitions and such. Well, with all due respect, Europe and the United States no longer get to participate in the lexicon of the European conflict. They think they can by providing money and weapons and such. But Russia will not negotiate with the West to end this. The West has lost all credibility after what Miracle
okay,
Holland...
Well, okay, Scott, explain that for our viewers. Give us what happened. We could start with Poroshenko, then we can go to Merkel, then we go to Holland. If you could, you know, put a bow on that, because it's very important. Go ahead.
Simply put, the Minsk Accords, which were implemented or were entered into in 2014, Minsk II, 2015, were supposed to create a ceasefire and a set of conditions which would have the Donbass remain within Ukrainian territorial sovereignty in exchange for changes in the Ukrainian constitution that would provide a level of cultural and linguistic autonomy to the ethnic Russians. For 8 years, there was no movement on it, and people were always saying, well, why not? And there was a narrative that it was Russia's fault. We now know, thanks to Poroshenko, the former president of Ukraine, Merkel, the former chancellor, Holland, the former French president, all three who were involved in the crafting of the Minsk, that it was never meant to be implemented. It was a sham to buy time for the Ukrainians to rearm with the assistance of NATO for the purpose of engaging in armed conflict with Russia. So Russia will no longer negotiate with these people. Anybody who thinks otherwise is fooling themselves. And so if the goal of the West is to continue to fund this conflict in hopes that Ukraine can somehow drive Russia to the negotiating table, that will never happen. Russia is going to win this war regardless. There is only one outcome, and that is a Russian victory. And frankly speaking, $200 billion of Western aid is not going to be sufficient because, as John alluded to, the West is not of one mind. In fact, the longer this conflict goes on, the further fractured the West becomes regarding Ukraine.
Well,
Russia is
let me jump in here and go to John here. I slightly disagree with you and John, actually, on that point. I think Europe is completely irrelevant. Who cares what the Europeans have to say? Washington certainly doesn't care. I mean, if there's going to be a negotiated end to this conflict, it's going to be Moscow and Washington, and that's exactly how Washington wants it. John, your reaction.
The end... You know, as this conflict, as this war has a trajectory, and I do believe, I mean, disagree with Scott, there will be a negotiation. You will see Zelensky and President Putin, President Zelensky in a room.
Under Ukrainian law, President Zelensky is not allowed to negotiate with the Russian president. Let's keep our facts straight. Okay, go ahead.
This has nothing to do with what's in the law, what's isn't in the law. I'm saying that in order for this to end, I do expect at some point those two individuals will be in a room, likely in Ankara, likely at the invitation, request of President Erdogan of Turkey. And what Scott has said with respect to the past is absolutely right. But the Russian Federation and Ukraine are both going to be in a position where neither can do whatever they want. They all have limitations. You know, in the U.S., there was the talk about no blank check for Ukraine or for anything. And that is true. There isn't unlimited resources. All governments have to make decisions. And at some point, and I think it's probably, you know, probably by the end of this year, there will be an effort to bring this to some sort of cessation. Well, that doesn't mean.
I'll let you finish in the second half of the program. I have to finish. We're going to a hard break. Okay. I will go back to you. I promise. I do think that the conditions that you're talking about will be conditions of surrender of one side to the other. That's the only time those two guys will meet. Gentlemen, I'm going to go to a hard break, and after that hard break, we'll continue our discussion on Ukraine. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter LaBelle. To remind you, we're discussing Ukraine. Okay, let's go back to John in Buffalo. At the end of the first part of the program, you said that it will be a negotiated end, and I interjected. I said, yes, there will be. There will be a surrender. You would like to react to that? Go right ahead.
The end of this conflict, this war, is going to be based upon who's prepared to suffer most.
Okay.
So I don't believe that one, you know, and there are going to be semantics, diplomatic semantics, in terms of surrender. But in the end, this is going to have a cessation, whether it's temporary or permanent, by the basis of a discussion. It's regardless of what laws are on the books or anything else. That because neither side can continue this in perpetuity.
Well, we'll see. There's, we'll see about that. But I do agree. I do agree with you on the point that if it's not resolved correctly in the immediate future, this will be with us for a very long time. Lionel, let me go to you in New York. I mean. When Zelensky went to the House, the joint session of Congress, you know, I called that peak Zelensky. I mean, how long is this guy going to have his run with show business and Vanity Fair and all of that? Okay, when there's so many other problems that Americans are dealing with, and you know, if you look at the nature of the regime in Kyiv, there's no democracy. Opposition parties are banned. There's no freedom of speech. Now the Orthodox Church is being persecuted, very much like during the Soviet era, I would like to point out to our viewers here. So, Lionel, I mean, you know, what's the flavor of the month? Is Zelensky still it?
For now, until the media and entertainment folks decide it's back to Prince Harry or Meghan Markle or whatever. But I must ask a very simple and naive question. What exactly has changed now that was not known initially? Why are people asking questions now like, how do you think we're going to wrap this up? Do you think maybe concessions? Will Ukraine be neutral, a rump state? Do you think NATO and the United States? What happened other than just people becoming tired of this, needless death? I don't understand what's happened. People act now as though there has been some tremendous transitory change, this evolution into something, when in fact, everything that started initially is still the way now. I'm going to go back to what I said as far as my perspective here. This is a movie line. This is a character. This is a hero. And this is not in any way meant to degrade Mr. Zelensky. I'm telling you, he is a media creation here, and nobody knows anything. They can't find Ukraine on a map. Let me also say something very quickly. In 1962, in the United States, 90 miles from Florida, was a place called Cuba. And the world was about to go to World War III over missiles, which basically was about Turkey, but it doesn't matter. We have the Monroe Doctrine. We understand specifically the idea of territorial compromise and territorial encroachment. So why this is difficult for people here to understand, at least the issues, I will never know, sir.
Well, Lionel, one of the things I've noticed from my faraway perch is they're trying to frame this as like a World War II good guy, bad guy thing. And there's this very, it's not nuanced.
Manichaean.
It's Manichaean, unprovoked. Well, I mean, there's a lot of history prior to the beginning of the conflict, which the mainstream media is not interested in. Scott, I want to bring up an issue you and I have talked about numerous times, and it's something that John alluded to, is that when this conflict comes to an end, the Russians are going to make sure it's not going to happen for a very, very long time. Not 2 years, not 5 years, not 10 years. It's going to be a lot more permanent than that. Go ahead, Scott.
No, absolutely. That's why there will be no negotiated settlement, because a negotiated settlement implies compromise, and there is no compromise. The chance for compromise was back in April when Russia was sitting down with the Ukrainians in Istanbul. But Boris Johnson intervened on behalf of NATO to shut it down because NATO thought wrongly that Russia was weakened, that Russia couldn't sustain this. They injected billions of dollars in an effort to pump Ukraine up. That has run its course. The final elements of the 300,000 are completing their training. They're soon to be deployed. Russia has restructured its staff for large-scale warfare. Russia has restructured its defense industry. Russia's economy is not suffering. The notion that somehow Ukraine can suffer more is ludicrous. Their economy is already dead, moribund. It's on life support with American money, but as Condoleezza Rice and Mr. Gates have alluded to, you remove that money, the Ukrainian economy dies. General Armageddon, Sir Viking, is being put in charge of a future air campaign that will destroy Ukraine as a modern nation state. Understand this, the Russians have made it clear. The opening conditions still apply. Demilitarization and denazification. Demilitarization is about to occur. The destruction of the Ukrainian armed forces. Denazification occurs with the death of the Zelensky government. And that will happen at the hands of an aerial campaign, sustained, strategic in nature, that will destroy Ukraine as a modern nation state. There will be no negotiated end. I don't know how many times I have to emphasize this. In the end, there will be a Tokyo Bay type solution. September 1945, the USS Missouri, the Russians will come up with something equivalent, and a defeated Ukraine will crawl and be compelled to sign a document of unconditional surrender. This is how it ends, not because Russia wanted it to end this way, because NATO forced Russia to seek this kind of solution.
You know, John, how much more do you think the West will escalate? Because, you know, they've depleted their stocks of weapons. They have to start making new ones. Making new ones takes a lot of time. These are very sophisticated systems, training people up here. Meanwhile, the campaign is raging on the battlefield here. I mean, unfortunately, there's only one really big, important high card the West can play, and you know what that is, nuclear weapons. Because when you have Condi Rice and Bob Gates saying, you know, we cannot afford to lose this, they're escalating this. They are escalating, and they're threatening to escalate. This is the foreign policy blob speaking. John, your thoughts.
I'd begin by referencing with Scott talking about September, my birthday, September the 2nd, so that actually aligns with what happened on the Missouri. I disagree with him with respect to the end, the likelihood of negotiations. Nuclear weapons, this is not going to be a nuclear conflict. It never was going to be, regardless of who says what. In terms of the West's continued capacity to deliver product to Ukraine, they're going to do so. You know, I would like to share, you know, I have somewhat of a unique perspective here, and that is I began my international work career in what was the USSR prior to President Gorbachev taking power. And I was in Kharkiv, Ukraine, on the 24th of February. And I've been back since, and I've been to the Russian Federation, and I've been to Belarus, and I've been to Turkey. So having an ability to look at the consequences commercially, economically, politically, militarily, of what this conflict, what this war has begot with respect to other countries, whether it's frontline NATO countries, frontline non-NATO countries, or other countries, and within Ukraine. I disagree with Scott in terms of the Ukrainian economy, you know, collapsing.
Well, I mean, John, you have Condoleezza Rice and Robert Gates. I'll quote, "The Ukrainian economy is in shambles and the country is entirely reliant on foreign aid."
Okay. And they are partially correct. There is and there remains a private sector in Ukraine. And
Are you talking about the black market? Because that's basically what they have.
No, I'm not talking about the black market. And that's just a statement not based on reality. You still have people there that are engaged in trying to do what they were doing prior to February 24, 2022. And these are young people as well as older people. But it's important to remember that in both countries, the Russian Federation and Ukraine, you've got young people who are questioning what's happening. The Russian economy is hurting. The Ukrainian
You talked about your personal travels. That's fine. Personal experience can enlighten you. I live here. So, Lionel, let me tell you something here. Sanctions. If you, the average Russian, that person did not pay attention to the news, they wouldn't have any idea this country was sanctioned at all, okay? That's how much the sanctions are hurting. There, as a matter of fact, import substitution is on steroids right now, which is something I've been saying for the entire quarter century I've lived in this country. Do not rely upon the West. They're toxic, they lie, they deceive, then they cheat. Go ahead, Lionel.
Go ahead. Well, what you said, which is the most important, and that is that how is it that anybody is going to understand what is going on? You know, I'm a child of the Vietnam era. I'm a child of the 60s. And I remember specifically, it was so clear that Ho Chi Minh was a bad guy. This was about the domino effect. And now, after the fact, we are still trying to decipher what happened. Now we're still trying to figure out the Civil War. What I don't understand is, and this is the worst part, if there's one lesson that the world should know is that you cannot conduct warfare anywhere when you have huge swaths of humanity cut off from reality. You have to let everybody talk. These gentlemen go at it, no matter the platform. Then, only then can the world understand what's going on. There are videos I've seen of this what sanction type of theme with people prospering. This completely defeats the idea. Yet, you want to talk about propaganda. You look at some of the Western stuff, you would say Western, American media, and I'm thinking, what planet are they talking about? And here's the best part. Because you mentioned before, this Boris and Natasha, this Russophobic, Kremlin-baiting, Boris and Natasha nonsense, this post-Cold War attitude, people jump into this immediately saying, if it's Russia, it's got to be bad. Okay. It's that simplistic.
All right. That shows you how powerful the propaganda is. Gentlemen, that's all the time we've had. Fascinating discussion. Difference of opinion, which is very much welcome on this program. I want to thank my guests in Buffalo, Delmar, and in New York. And I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk Rules.